most of you who come here know that we are, I am teaching spiritual fitness class right now. We're like in week three of it. And so this week's class began with the question, what brings out the best in you? That was the first thing that we did, contemplate that and look at that. And so the title of my talk today is Bring Out the Best. And I'm talking about some of the things that we can do to bring out the best in ourselves. Some of the things that we can do to live as our best selves and to live our best life. To live our most peaceful and our most gratifying and satisfying lives. I know that every single one of us, we want to live a life where we experience inner peace. We want to live a life where we are bringing our best selves to life. We want to live as our unique and creative and authentic selves and bring that to the world, who we are uniquely. We want to live with a sense of freedom. Freedom to be who we are, freedom to choose the life of our choosing, freedom to create that life of our choosing, free in sum to live our best life. And so specifically, really today, what I'm talking about, because this was the chapter, and it's kind of different than what I would normally talk about, but what I'm really talking about today is self-care and how good self-care enables us to feel peaceful. And how good self-care enables us to bring our best selves to life. And good self-care enables us to live our most satisfying, our best life. And so what we're going to do then is we're going to look at three different aspects of self-care and what that looks like. And so we're going to look at and talk about love, self-love. We're going to talk about self-judgment and releasing self-judgment as a way to care for ourselves, and to also look at beliefs that we might be holding that do not allow us to live our best lives and to thrive. And so another name for self-care could be self-love. And so when I'm speaking about self-love, I'm not talking about buying yourself flowers and taking yourself out to dinner and buying yourself gifts and that kind of stuff. Although that is a piece of self-care and those things are really nice, what I'm really talking about today is a deeper kind of self-care. What I'm really talking about is taking care of ourselves emotionally and mentally and physically and spiritually. And so in her book, Spiritual Fitness, Carolyn Reynolds speaks to this. She says, "It was only when I became quite ill that I realized what loving myself truly meant. Firstly, it meant protecting and nurturing myself and keeping anything that was harmful away from me. I was forced to recognize what weakens my body and soul and had to learn to avoid all the things and people that did. Self-love is, of course, equated with self-worth. It means honoring what works for you and rejecting what is unacceptable to you. Self-love is also doing what makes you happy and finding out what brings you joy and peace and then incorporating that into your life. For instance, remember what makes you laugh and make sure it features strongly in your life." And so I'm really talking about taking care of ourselves, doing what is right for us, living authentically in alignment with our deepest selves. I'm talking about honoring ourselves, and that looks like working at a job that is good for you, or working with people who are good for you. It means not spending time with people who are draining, who drain your energy. Not being in toxic relationships that you know aren't good for you. And I know we've all had them in this room. It means taking time to do the things that feel good to you and that enable you to bring your best forward. It means eating healthy foods, and it means honoring your body by getting enough sleep and listening to your body's own rhythms of rest and play and activity and what time you need to go to bed and what time you need to get up. It means taking time to just be. It means creating a home that feels good to you to be in. It means saying yes when you want to say yes and no when you want to say no. It means protecting and nurturing yourself, not doing things that weaken you. That means not going to the office party that you think you need to go to that you really don't want to go to, or not going to the reception after the funeral because you know it's going to be a bunch of family drama. It means being true to yourself inside to do what's right for you. Because what happens when we are not true to ourselves is we give ourselves this subconscious message that you're not worth it. You don't really count. You're not that important. And what happens then is that weakens our self-esteem. That weakens our self-worth. And because we teach people how to treat us, then people also start treating us like we're really not that valuable. And so what happens then is we end up getting depressed. We end up feeling anxious. We don't sleep well. We eat too much and of the wrong kinds of foods. We drink too much. We do all those things so that we don't have to feel that part of ourselves that feels like we're not being true to ourselves and we're out of alignment with who we are. Instead, though, when we practice good self-care, when we're loving towards ourselves, when we care about ourselves, when we are true to ourselves, then we feel peaceful inside. Then we have a sense of ease. Then we're able to tap into our creativity and create this life of our heartfelt dreams and to do the things that we want to do. We enjoy ourselves then. And we have a sense of freedom. We feel free to create that life. We have energy then to create the life of our choosing. And so I have a friend who was talking to me recently. She got divorced a couple years ago, and she's just kind of started dating. And she realized after her marriage ended that one of the things that she did not do in that marriage that she really values, that really is important to her, is travel. They never traveled in her relationship. And so she's decided now that as she's starting to date, that that is one of the things that she really wants to do. She wants to date someone who will enjoy traveling with her because that's a value to her. And so she went out on a date with this guy. She's dated him a little bit and decided, you know what? And told him, this is really important to me to travel. And he's never been a traveler. So she's planned a couple of little short overnight trips, weekend trips, to try it on. And when they've gone, he's been really anxious. And he's been really uncomfortable. And she's realized, you know what? This isn't going to work for me. And she's decided that she's not going to continue to date him. She's being true to herself and what her values are and what's important to her instead of sacrificing them for a relationship. And so that's one of the things that we do to take care of ourselves then, is to listen to what's valuable and important to us and live authentically in alignment with that. And then the second thing that we do in order to practice good self-care is to let go of our negative judgment, to let go of our negative judgments about other people and about ourselves. And so Carolyn Reynolds in this book, Spiritual Fitness, says, it's impossible to maintain a peaceful state of mind and at the same time have a judgmental thought toward another. And I add, or towards ourselves. And so think about it for a minute. Close your eyes and think about something or someone who makes you really happy. Think about something that makes you really happy and feel happy. And now think of someone that you are holding in judgment, someone that you are not able to forgive. And I invite you to open your eyes. So what happened to that happiness? It disappears. We can't hold both of those things at the same time. We can't have happiness and a sense of ease and a sense of peace when we are in judgment. It's impossible to have both of those things at the same time. What that also tells me just by doing that is how much of a choice it is. We can choose what we put our focus on, knowing that that creates our inner experience. We can choose to focus on the things that raise our vibration and make us feel peaceful and joy-filled, or we can focus on the judgment and the things that we don't like and the things that we make us crabby and judging other people and judging ourselves. I get to choose whether I'm going to have a high vibration or a low vibration. And it's even worse when we judge ourselves. Because what happens when we judge ourselves is we are taking some thing that we did, and it's as if we are freezing that moment in time. And that moment in time becomes who we are. Because we don't judge the activity, we judge ourselves as if that one thing right there is who we are. That doesn't serve us. But what does serve us is letting go of the judgment, making amends if that's necessary, apologizing, making it right, and then wiping the slate clean. And then asking ourselves, what do I want to do now? Who do I want to be now? How do I want to create my life now that this slate is clean? You know, that's why they have confession in the Catholic Church. Because when we're holding ourselves in judgment, we can't create our best life. We can't bring our best selves to the world. So you do what you need to do to make amends. You wipe the slate clean. Let it go, like Ray's whole reading. Let it go. And then say, now what do I want to do? And so I read a story this week that I'd like to share with you that is about that. And it's by Alan Cohen. He says, I signed up with a trash removal service that requires rural customers to mark their addresses on their garbage cans. I took a can of white spray paint and etched my street number on one of the brown rubber cans. I set the can in the back of my SUV and drove it to the end of the road and left the garbage in the appropriate spot. When I returned to my garage, I was irked to notice that some of the white paint had rubbed off on the back of my seat. Apparently, it had not dried fully on the can, but it had dried fully in my car. I tried to remove the paint, but that time it was stuck and it wouldn't come off. Over the next weeks and months, every time I noticed those paint marks in the back of my seat, I felt foolish. A stream of judgment chided me. If you'd only paid closer attention and left more time for that paint to dry, this wouldn't have happened. Now you've ruined your car seat, and every time you look at it, you're reminded of your carelessness. Do we do that? Then one day, I accompanied a friend to a local hardware store to find some paint. On a shelf, I noticed a small can of a product called Goof Off. A remover of paint and other hard-to-get-out stains. I grabbed a can, took it home, and applied it to the defiant stain. To my delight, the paint disappeared immediately. I now see this product, especially its name, as symbolic of forgiveness. The name acknowledges that you made a mistake, goof, but it also acknowledges that it can be undone, off. If you're subject to a tyranny of guilt, this name offers an especially important teaching. Any sin is forgivable. Remember, sin means missing the mark. Any missing the mark is forgivable. Any error is correctable. Nothing is etched in stone. You always have another chance. A Course in Miracles distinguishes between a sin and an error. A sin requires punishment, but an error simply requires correction. The Course goes on to tell us that we have made many errors, but we have never sinned. All of our sins, self-inflicted nonsense, are undone the moment we bring our judgmental thoughts into the healing light of love. We can use that goof off and erase that stain that we think is there, and move forward and create our best life. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, speaks to this. He says, some suffer, some are happy, some unhappy, according to the way we contact life. No one judges us but ourselves. No one gives to us but ourselves, and no one robs us but ourselves. We are the ones who put a stop in that flow of good, and our self-judgment is one of the things that does that. Because what happens in our self-judgment, we close ourselves off from the good. We close ourselves off from peace. We close ourselves off from love. We close ourselves off from a sense of well-being. We close ourselves off from our own creativity. We close ourselves off from joy when we're in judgment of anyone else or of ourselves. Because when we are in judgment, when we are in that negative low vibration, we are unlike that presence of the infinite that fills all of time and space with its beingness. We become unlike it, so we separate ourselves from it. And so Ernest Holmes says, thought attracts what is like itself and repels what is unlike it. We repel that good from us when we are in that negative vibration state. So when we are in judgment, we rob ourselves of the infinite potential that is always present right where we are. We rob ourselves of our peace and our own well-being. We rob ourselves of ease and of grace. And so then the third thing that we can do to participate in good self-care is to recognize when we are acting out of old beliefs that no longer serve us. When something isn't working in our lives, when something's going on that we don't like, it behooves us to take a look at what we are believing that is holding that in place in our lives. Because our belief creates our thought, and our thought is the thing that motivates our behavior, what it is that we do, and that creates our experience. So let me give you an example of that. You have this belief that when I go to church, I feel good. Something happens and I feel fed and I feel nurtured. And out of that belief, you thought to yourself, I think I'll go to church today. And that thought, I think I'll go to church today, caused you to get up and get out of bed and get dressed and drive here and to come into the building. Being here creates the experience that you're having. So that's always how it is. There's always a belief that's underneath what it is that we're experiencing. So let's say you have a belief that says, there is no gain without struggle. And there's something in you that says, I really want to be a teacher. I would love to be a teacher and to do that for a career. And then this belief back here says, there is no gain without struggle. So you say to yourself, that means I'd have to go back to school. School's going to be a struggle. I don't think I'm up to that kind of a struggle. And out of that belief and out of that thought, school will then be a struggle, you decide not to go to school and you stay in the unsatisfying job that you've been working in. But it's the belief that has caused the experience that you're still staying in that job. So there's always a belief behind what's going on. But the thing about beliefs is they are conclusions that we have drawn. Those beliefs are conclusions we have drawn based on what someone else believes and has told us is the truth, like our parents and our school teachers and the church that we went to as kids and whatever it is, those authority figures. Or they are conclusions that we have drawn due to experiences that we've had in our lives. Those beliefs may or may not be true. And so if you discover that you are holding some sort of a belief that really isn't empowering you, that really isn't enabling you to live your best life, Katie Byron, who is an author, has a great thing that she talks about in one of her books that I love. She says for us to ask ourselves, is it true? Can I be 100% sure that this belief that I have is true? Is it true for 100% of the people? Is it true 100% of the time? If you can find somebody that that isn't true for, then it's not a truth. It's a belief that is not based on fact, but that's just based on opinion. Is it true that there isn't enough time? Well, certainly those people have enough time. Is it true that there aren't enough resources? Well, it certainly looks like those people have resources. Is it true that all relationships are difficult? Well, they sure seem to have a happy, easy relationship. It's a belief that you're holding. And we can change our beliefs. And one of the ways that we change our beliefs is by looking through spiritual eyes, through looking through the eyes of truth with a capital T, through soul vision. Soul-level thinking is what Carolyn talks about in this book. And so soul-level thinking means seeing through those eyes of truth that I live in an infinite universe that supports me in thriving. I live in this infinite presence that is always available and that is always pouring into my life as a boundless good. It looks like telling yourself and remembering the nature of God is good. That means the nature of life is good. The nature of God is love, and it is peace, and that fills my life now. And then you walk in that truth, and you make choices and decisions out of that truth and out of that consciousness, and that moves you into a life of thriving. And so in Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes also says this. Our belief sets the limit of our demonstration of a principle which of itself is without limit. It is ready to fill everything because it is infinite. So it is not a question of its willingness, nor of its ability. It is entirely a question of our own receptivity. We set the volume control on how much good flows into our life by our beliefs. And so the invitation is to adopt beliefs that support you in living your best life. Adopt a beliefs that support you in thriving. And so I invite you again to close your eyes. I have some questions that I want you to ask yourself. To ask yourself, what brings out the best in me? What people or things bring out the best in me? What attitudes bring out the best in me? What or who expands me? What or who expands me? And what brings out the worst in me? What contracts me? What brings out the worst in me? What contracts me? And so I invite you to open your eyes. See, you know those answers. They live in you. You just need to listen to them. So listen to that inner knowing that's inside of you. That inner knowing is the call of the divine within you, leading you into your best life. It's the call of your soul, leading you into living a life of thriving and of flourishing and of experiencing joy and the fullness of life. You know, I saw a TV show probably 2 years ago, And one piece of it, they were interviewing all these different people, and some of those people were mystics, and asking each one of them, what is the purpose of life? And one of those mystics said, the purpose of life is to experience joy. What if that was the whole purpose of life, to experience joy? What if joy were your compass? What if thriving was your compass? What if expansive living was your compass, and that led you to do whatever it is that you do in your life? And so I'm going to recap this talk, because it was a lot. One, in order to practice good self-care, take good care of yourself. Take care of yourself emotionally and physically and spiritually. Honor your needs. Be true to yourself. Make choices that are good for you. And two, let go of judgment. Remember, you can't experience joy and judgment at the same time. That judgment closes us off from the good, from the peace and the love and experiencing our own wholeness and experience the good in life. It keeps us from giving birth to our best selves. And three, release the beliefs that don't support you in living your best life. Remember their conclusions that you've drawn that may or may not be true. And so ask yourself those questions. Is it 100% true? 100% of the time for 100% of the people? Look through the eyes of a perspective that support you in thriving, through your spiritual eyes, through the truth that lives inside of you. Replace the belief that is not supporting you with one that does support you. And remember that life is for you. Remember that God is on your side all the time. And remember that good is present, and it is available, and it is here for the taking. You get to take it. And so blessings to each one of you on this path of awakening and unfolding and living your absolute best life. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in a spiritual mind treatment. And so how good it is just to answer this call of prayer within our hearts and our souls. For we are being called to remember that which our soul has always known, to know that truth that was before the beginning of time and that truth that will be unto the ends of the earth, that truth that God is present, that infinite one that is love and peace and joy and magnificence itself is right where we are. That presence fills this room. It fills our homes. It fills our places of work. That presence moves with us and goes with us in everything that we do, for that present is omnipresent. And so I know that it is the center of everything, and it is right where we are. Love and joy and good without bounds. And so I recognize that we cannot be separate or apart from this one for an instant in all of eternity. For it is the very essence of who we are. We are each individuations of this most high one, of this infinite potentiality, of this boundless good, that it fills our lives because it is our life, because everything is this one here, unfolding as all that we see around us. And so I know right now that good is flowing into our lives in a way that is such a blessing. I know that good is flowing into us and out through us in a way that is a blessing to us and to every single person we come in contact with. For before the need was spoken, the gift was already given. The gift is right here, for we live in this one. And so right now, I know that that one leads us and guides us into the life that is so fulfilling, leads us into this life of thriving and of being all we've come here to be and of doing all that we've come here to do, a life of joy and of deep fulfillment. And so it is with a heart filled with gratitude that I say thank you, God, for this. Thank you, God, for this understanding and for this amazing life that we are living. And so I release this prayer into that infinite law of the universe, knowing that it is absolutely done as it is spoken, and it is absolutely done because it is the truth. And so we rest in that truth. And we remember that truth, and we live that truth today and tomorrow and the next and the next. And so I release this and I let it be, and so it is.